That would include you.
And when they move, the choir will have a place to sit, so the choir is dismissed.
You'll find other announcements of that might involve you in the bulletin. The deacons will meet this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll have business meeting tonight after our sandwich fellowship time at 6. So, and then corporate prayer time. And if you can join us for those, that would be great. Judges, the 6th chapter. Judges, the 6th chapter. What does that mean? The choir just sang, "I will give you all my praise." What does that mean? What does that mean? How does that play out? Can we paint a picture of that? Is there a definition of that, of giving the Lord all of our praise? And then we sang the song just prior to that, that the Lord would have our hands. He'd have our feet. Did you notice it said silver and gold? I won't hold anything back from worshiping you. Oh, well, with the exception of this closet over here that I have my stuff in. I got a lock on it. And Lord, you can have all of this other. You have all my worship. You have my hands, my feet, my eyes, my silver and my gold. And he just passes all that stuff up. And he goes over here and he begins to knock on this door, this closet in your life that you have locked up, that you have not yet given to him. And he says, "That's where I want to be at. This is where we want to start cleaning house, is right here." When God called Gideon, Gideon said, "I'm not qualified. You don't go call someone else. Get someone else. I'm the least. My family doesn't amount to anything. And then I'm the least one among them. I have less than anyone. So someone else would be better qualified to do that." Now we're going to talk about that just a little bit later. But have you noticed in the economy of God, the people that he uses in his work? You see, it's not my ability or your ability. I get to thinking about some folks that could really do a good job here in the church if they would just really surrender themselves. Maybe someone that has a lot of money, but they don't give it. Maybe someone that is really has a good education could really be an asset in the Awana program or in the Sunday school program or in the camp program. And I'm thinking, Lord, now here's one, Lord, that if this family would come on, they join the church, and they just fall in here and go to work with us, man, here is a family that could really be used. God said, that's not my choice. That's not one I'm choosing. I'm choosing these folks that's got jobs that they're already working 8 hours on a job, and they leave their work, crawl in one of them nice fans that we've got, and hit the road to pick up kids to bring them to Awana and get in. One of them called me the other night at 9:30, and I said, "What are you doing calling me at 9? No, I didn't say that. I said, "Are you just now get in? I just now got in." And they left their house that morning, probably at 5 o'clock or 5:30 or 6 o'clock, and they are still on the road at 9:30 that night. And I'm thinking, Lord, in your economy, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense to me. Well, what about these folks that could do it and won't do it? And the Lord says, you just leave that kind of stuff to me, and you're going to understand the kind of folks that I choose are not the kind of people that you would choose. When I'm going to preach here after a while, so you guys just hang on. We haven't got to scripture yet. You're anxious, ain't you?
Oh, yeah.
When Samuel went to anoint David as king. You remember this, Chuck? Run all those big, stout brothers in front of him. And Samuel thought, here's one. I mean, he's got the muscle. He's got the grit. He's got the looks. He'll make a good king over Israel. And God spoke to Samuel and he said, Samuel, you're looking on the outside of the guy. You're looking on the outside. I look on the inside. I look at his heart. I look what really makes him tick, what moves him along. He went through all those sons and then he said to Jesse, have you got any more? Well, I've got this little old rut of a boy that's keeping the sheep. David, go get him and bring him down here. And when he walked through the door, the Spirit of God moved on Samuel. And he said, here he is, Samuel. Man after my own heart. He's going to do great and mighty things in the land of Israel. He's going to write psalms and sing psalms. And he's going to be one of the greatest kings that Israel will ever have. And when all of time has passed, and I have set up my eternal kingdom in Israel, my throne will be named after his throne. And I will sit on the throne of David for eternity. So here is Gideon. Carson, did you find that? You know about Gideon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Judges 6. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. This ought to become familiar to you. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, Abizarite, the Abizarite, and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now we talked about this some last Sunday, but we're going to get into this today. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Boy, I could stop right here and get on the stump. If God's with us, then why is this happening to me? What happened to health, wealth, and prosperity? Why am I sick if God's with us? Why is my economy not better than it is if God is with us? Why do I have this pain? Why are my kids going through this? Why is this happening to me if God's with us? That was Gideon's question. Have you asked that lately? Why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now look at us. Now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And then he makes this little statement, have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I help? Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house, remember? And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I'll tarry until thou comest again. I must be having some kind of vision, Gideon said. Are you sure? I want to make sure about this. You stay here, and I'm going to bring back an offering. I'll stay, the angel said. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, that is a goat, unleavened cake, Ephraim, a flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and he brought it out unto him, unto the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh, now watch this, take the flesh and the unleavened cake, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Now watch. Then the angel of God put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that it was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day is it set in Ophrah of the Abizarites. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne and we pray that you would speak to our hearts today through your powerful, wonderful, living word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we've given a little background already, but if you'd back up to verse 1, Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. In verse 10, the Lord says, you have not obeyed my voice. It's a very serious thing when God calls on you and you do not obey him. They had gone their own way. Not only had they strayed from serving the Lord, but they were serving Baal. They entered into the worship of Baal. And then God brought a great plague by this roving band of bandits upon them. And they cried unto the Lord. I'd heard someone say even this week that they'd done a little study on anyone that cries unto the Lord. And they had found that any time that people cry unto the Lord responds. They cried unto the Lord, and the Lord responded. Even in their sin, even in their backslidden condition, even in their following after Baal, they cried unto the Lord. Number one, whom he calls, he qualifies. We're going to look at the qualifications of Gideon here and how it is that God would call the least among the brethren. And then as we get farther into this deal, how God weans out those that would go to battle from thousands to hundreds down to 300 men that God chose out of that group to go into battle. And you remember why God thinned it down like that? We see God's economy working in this almost constantly. Why did God thin it down like that? He said, because the people will say, we won it. We did it. And so I don't want anyone to say, I don't want anyone to be able to say that God wasn't the one that did it. So we're going to thin it down. What about in your life or in my life? Is God active in that way in our life? That we can say that God did it? God is the one that is responsible. God is the one that is delivering us. God has brought us to this place. Now, I don't know about you, but I got a lot of comfort in these qualifications. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and look at verse 26.